Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
Take your Bible and turn to Job, if you will. Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2. Good to see you out at the Lord's house tonight. And we had a pretty day today. We had a cloudy, stormy day yesterday and a pretty day today. And I hope you enjoyed that. As the pastor said, I know we're all making plans for a storm coming this way. But I appreciate you coming to the house of God tonight. Appreciate my good friend, Brother Ray, being with us. And he brought his friend, amen. Brother Ray and I have been friends for years. And he's a dear friend of ours. Brother Ray comes to our camp meeting every year. And he just gets in there and works, amen. He gets in the kitchen there and works with us. Anyhow, I appreciate you, Brother Ray, coming this evening to be with us. I haven't said much about it, but you might want to come to the camp meeting. It's October the 22nd through the 26th. There's cards on our table. There should be. You can go out to our website about that. It's all week long, Monday through Friday, evening services, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are morning and evening services. And you can stay on the property. It's a 100-acre property. You can stay on the property for $70 for the whole week. And or you can stay off the property. It don't matter. The food and the camp meeting are free. And you want to get away and hunt around for God, that'd be a good meeting to come and meet with God. People come from all over the country to it. Have some of the best preachers, I think, in the country preach it. And sing in groups. And so maybe you want to think about that. It's just about a month off. And love to have you come. Brother Eric, I love you. Appreciate just working with y'all. And there's never, I like being to work with people that when nobody's vying for attention. And there's no struggle. We've been in places, and you have too, and been with groups, that there's a major struggle on the stage. Who's going to be first and forward and all of that. And he shared his piano with us. I appreciate that. I know Lydia's not used to singing sideways, but I appreciate him sharing his piano with us. Praise the Lord. And we'll deal with ours when we have the time to deal with it. Amen. We're in Job chapter number 2 tonight. The Bible said this in verse number 8, and he took a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Father, I love you tonight. I sure do thank you for your love. I thank you for your care. God, I thank you that there is a verse in Scripture we can hold on to that the Lord, David said, thinketh upon me. God, I'm glad you're mindful of us tonight. We're in your house. God, I pray you draw us into your presence around the Word of God. Lord, I ask you, Father, would you strengthen your saints? And Lord God, in strengthening thy saints, would you revive us, I pray. God, if there's someone lost here tonight, please draw them unto salvation. Lord God, I raise my hands towards thee and worship thee. Thou art my God. Lord God Almighty, you're worthy of praise and honor and glory. God, you are mighty. God, your way is in the whirlwind. God, your voice is in the thunder. I bless your holy name tonight. Meet with us now. Speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You are familiar with the life of Job. He's one of the greatest examples of trials and tribulations that any human being's ever been through, other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And we get to verse 10 of chapter 2. Job's been through a whole lot. He's faced a whole lot of things. You find in chapter 1 that his children were killed. The house was blown down upon them in verse 19, and he lost 10 kids all in one day. You'll find that his belongings were taken from him and carried away. His sheep, his camels, all this stuff was taken from him. You'll find that his fields were burned up. Everything taken from him. I thought about his sheep. You know, he needed his sheep to worship God. Job knew about worship, and he needed those sheep to sacrifice. And even that which was part of his devotion to God, his his part of his religious actions, if you will, was taken from him. The Bible said in the first part of chapter 1 that Job would sacrifice daily on behalf of his children, just in case maybe they had done something wrong and Job was trying to reach God for his children. It should be good if we reach God for our children these days. About sick of everybody getting mad at the young children coming up. It's the parents and the grandparents' problem that we've created today. Somebody needs to get brokenhearted over our children in this country. But Job would sacrifice daily, not just for his children. He would sacrifice for himself and for his wife. Job, the Bible speaks of him as a just, a good man. Job is the picture of the perfect Christian. Every day of his life was completely devoted to God. Job, everything that he had was laid out before God. He held nothing back. But we find in verse 10 of chapter 2 that Job has lost everything. And then now he's lost his health. He's got boils. Somebody said he had a skin disease. It's deeper than that. If you've ever had a boil, you can have a boil that goes all the way to the bone. He didn't have but one boil. He had boils from the top of his head to the bottoms of his feet. Boil upon boil all the way through to the bone. I cannot even grasp what kind of pain that must have been. Lost his health. Lost his wife's heart. So Job goes over. He takes some broken potsherd. I'm wondering, preacher, maybe that potsherd, dead pieces of pottery, wasn't because the Chaldeans or somebody had come through and just wreaked havoc on everything that he had. And he didn't even have a decent pot left in his house. And he grabs a piece of broken pottery and he sits down in those ashes. You ever wonder what ashes he's sitting in? I believe he's sitting in the ashes that are from the altar of chapter 1 of his worship of God. Job sits down in his devotion to God. Job settles himself down in his relationship and religion before Almighty God. He sits down in those very ashes where he had worked out his relationship with God. He begins to scrape himself in the ashes. Job goes through many sufferings. He's accused. He goes through accusations. Satan accuses him. The Bible calls Satan our accuser. And Satan comes before God and accuses Job. And talks about how Job only served God because God was blessing him. God help us tonight that that not be the reason we serve God. He's accused by his friends. You would think when you get in a problem, you would think when a storm hits, you would think that your dearest friends would help you through the storm. These days, that's not true. There's so much division and biting and devouring among God's people that a brother doesn't know who his real brother is in this war anymore. His friends began to, they come around and they begin to point fingers at him. I can see him sitting in the ashes scraping himself. I mean, it's pitiful. What else can be done? And then his friends come and just point fingers in his face. Bildad in Job chapter 8, if thou wouldest seek unto God, Job. Why aren't you seeking God, Job? Zophar in Job chapter 11, if thou prepare thine heart, Job, verse 14, he suggests that Job put away his iniquity far away and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles, Job. Eliphaz in Job chapter 22 has says, if thou return to the Almighty. And so Job had left God somewhere along the line. His friends accuse him. This is going on in your life, Job, because you're not right with God. You've got some kind of sin in your life that you need to deal with. He goes through the sufferings of death. He loses his kids. He loses his loved ones. He loses his servants, his fellow laborers, if you will.
In every one of those, only one servant comes back. No doubt Job, being the man that he was, loved his servants. There was a good relationship there. They were co-workers in the things. And listen, we've got co-workers in the things of God that we've lost along the way. His suffering is the loss of his wealth. I mean, he went from being one of the wealthiest men in the East to nothing. Teenagers would mock him. Because he doesn't have the wealth that he used to have. He lost his reputation. He used to sit in the gate. But now, in these ashes, don't nobody want to hear from Job. Because don't you know, when you look unsuccessful, nobody wants to hear what you have to say. Could I say this tonight? Be careful who you deem worthy of listening to or not listening to. God uses an animal if he wants to in your life. Speak to you. He loses his health. I spoke of that. His body. He loses the health, the mental health of his wife. This is a man that loves God, raises family, loves God. His wife's been right there with me. But his wife's mind flips. She says, "Won't you just curse God?" Loses the mental health of his very wife. Let me say this tonight. It's one thing to endure a catastrophe. It's another thing to endure a trial. Sometimes hurt and harm come immediately and it passes. And sometimes it comes and it stays a while. You may break an arm and they cast it, and in a little while it's over. You may actually end up like my wife's brother. One day you're doing fine and by that evening you've coded and now you're still laying in a bed in a semi-coma. The reality tonight in the ashes. The reality that Job came across while sitting in those ashes. And before I get into these four realities, I want to say this tonight. Listen, let suffering, let trials, let storms draw you closer to God, not cause you to run away from God. There's too many of God's people quitting on God. There's too many of God's people getting dissatisfied with the way God's taking care of them. We are in the last of the church age. We're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're in the time of the falling away of God's people. Why? Because the trials are hot. The fires are hot. The lions are roaring against us. It's a major deal going on in every one of our lives tonight. And instead of running from God, let's do like Job. Let's just sit down in our devotions. Let's sit down in our Christianity. Let's just settle in and say, "God, right here is where I burnt my fires before you. Right here is where I expended myself before you. Right here is where I'm going to sit and wait on you to do what you're going to do in my life." Reality. In the ashes, when trials come, if you run out on God, you ain't going to find out how great a God you serve. When troubles come, the first thing most immature Christians do is they lay down their devotion before Almighty God. Job said, "I was coming to church. Before the trial hit, I'm still going to be in church." Job said, "I was reading this book before God went silent on me. I'm going to get up every morning and read this book." Job said, "I was praying and had God's fellowship in my prayer closet before this trial hit. And even though I don't sense him in my prayer closet, I'm still going to go in my prayer closet." Job sat down in the ashes of his devotion, and there is some reality in the ashes tonight. I want to say, first of all, the reality that is in the ashes is we are not afraid. The Bible said God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Job said in Job chapter 13, verse 15, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Job learned something in the ashes that we don't have to live in fear. We are not afraid. And listen, tonight fear often shows up in our lives when we are at risk of losing something. Losing our wealth, our health, our reputation, our position, our safety, our family, our friends. It reveals our natural desire to protect the things in life that are important to us rather than supernaturally entrusting them to the God who cares for you and I. When fear takes over, it cripples our emotions. It saps our spirituality. Job sat down in those ashes. He sat around there and he looked at everything that he had lost. His life, he didn't know if he'd breathe another breath. His body is in such bad shape. He didn't know if his wife would still remain with him when he got up the next morning. He didn't know how he's going to buy another piece of bread. But he realized in them ashes that we are not afraid. Though he slay me, I will trust in him. David said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'll tell you something tonight, child of God. However bad it may be in your life tonight, don't yield to fear. God's in control. Corrie ten Boom was on to something when she said, in times of fear, I don't wrestle, I nestle. When fear begins to take a hold of your heart, crawl up closer into the arms of your Savior. Hunt for the wings of God and climb up under them wings. And don't let fear control you and rule you and distort your emotions and your thinking. Reality in the ashes tonight is we're not afraid. We're not afraid. He said in Job chapter 42, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. Let me say number two tonight, the reality in the ashes is we're not defeated. We're not defeated. Listen, the Bible said this, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. There is a real problem today in this country. Too many churches are existing in defeat. Which shows me that there's too many Christians in those churches who are living in defeat. We sing victory in Jesus, but it is sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. We are not defeated. Job chapter 5, he shall deliver thee in 6 troubles. Yea, in 7, there shall no evil touch thee. In famine, he shall redeem thee from death and in war. From the power of the sword, thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll learn some things in the reality of the ashes in your life, and you'll learn that you are more than a conqueror. You won't learn that unless you sit down in your ashes, unless you sit down in your devotion to God and remain steady. Job said, I maintain my integrity. He said, I ain't going to stop being a Christian. I ain't going to stop being faithful to God. Number three, I want to say this tonight. Reality in the ashes, you'll learn you're not alone. You'll learn you're not alone. And I don't mean by people, because people will forsake you. Sometimes over the most trivial, stupid stuff. When I was growing up, I used to keep chickens. Anybody keep chickens? Has anybody ever kept chickens? I knew I was a little bit in a farm country area. You go to the fair, and sometimes they're, I was going to say creating, but they're mixing up chickens to come up with some of the goofiest looking things. If you ever seen them, they got fluff everywhere and fluffy sock feet. Anyhow, I just keep chickens. One thing I learned is I watched those chickens, and I'd go out there and sit 2 and 3 hours and watch them. You learn a lot. I learned that if one of them gets a little sore, maybe gets a snag in the fence. I learned that the others will come by and And they'll forget what they had their attention on, and they'll turn their attention to that little sore and that one chicken, and they'll peck that sore two or three times. And then another will come along, and he'll see that sore, and he'll peck at that sore. And I have watched over days, if you do not take that chicken out from amongst them, that they will turn on that chicken and they will peck until they have pecked down into that chicken and killed it. Sometimes friends will get a hold of you and they won't stop till they kill you. And the only thing you can do is close your ears and walk on with God. Job learned something. He learned he wasn't alone in Job chapter 2. Verse 11, now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. On the flip side of these guys, they had a righteous start to what they were doing. They were coming to comfort him. Can I tell you something, child of God? Don't get so lost in your troubles that you don't reach out of your troubles and try to strengthen another child of God. If the devil can, he will get us so consumed with our own problems that we will waste away worrying about our own problems. You'll find, I'm preaching to you tonight, you'll find help with your problems if you'll reach out of yourself and help somebody else with theirs. Job found that he's not alone. It reminds me of Elijah. And Elijah had expended himself for the glory of God, given his all for the glory of God, tried his best to turn that great ship, the Israelite nation, back to God. And when it didn't turn back like he thought it would, and when Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you, he runs out into the wilderness and he tells God, I'm the only one. I'm the only one serving you. I'm the only one that's after you. He got to a place where he felt like he was all alone. But listen, God came by. God fed him. God stood him up before him and said, Elijah, I never left you. I've been here the whole time. You'll find out in the ashes that God has not and will not leave you alone. We love Hebrews. We say where he said, for God hath not, he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We love our eternal security, but we have a hard time with our daily Savior. He said, I'll never forsake thee. Whatever you're going through tonight, child of God, God ain't gone nowhere in your life. He's still right there with you in your trials. And number four, and I'm done. The reality in the ashes is that he's faithful to us all the way through our life. We sang a song here tonight. He sees what we don't. Whatever you're going through tonight, you're kind of like you're at a parade in downtown New York. And on that street corner, whichever one you pick to stand on, all you can see is two or three floats at best. But God is up on the tallest skyscraper, if you will. And he sees the parade from the beginning to the end. And so many times Satan will get you focused in on that little part of your life that you can see. But God sees the whole things. He sees what you cannot see. He sees where he's trying to take you. He sees the victories he's trying to give you. He sees how he will bring you out. He sees how that in the fire, he will join you in that fire. And you come out not even smelling like smoke. He sees how that when you're in the lion's den, that he's closing in one of them lion's mouths and they will not slay you. God sees your life tonight and he'll stay with you to the end of it. Job said in chapter 1 verse 21, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I read already at the end of the book, we find out that God gave again to Job of all he had. Hebrews 13, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. You say, I got that tonight, preacher, I'm fine. I'll be honest with you tonight, I don't got that tonight. Sometimes the struggles of life will get you to a place of discontentment. God, when are you going to fix this? God, when are you going to solve that problem? God, when are you going to roll this off me? God, when are you going to bring me through this? He said, just be content, because I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. Throughout history, men and women have staked their lives on that truth. Abraham, Moses, Rahab, Joshua, David, Esther, Daniel, so many of them staked their very life on the truth and the fact that God would remain faithful to them. I love this. Let's turn over here and read this right here. So he comes onto the piano in Job chapter 19. Some of you, if you know your Bible, you know exactly what I'm going to point you to. Job chapter 19, verse number 25. For I know, Job said, that my Redeemer liveth. He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. And mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me. There's one thing that'll cause us to stop seeking souls, to stop being concerned about the lives of others, is when we get so consumed with our own problems and we get to running around like a chicken with our head cut off. If we could do like Job and just sit down in the ashes of our devotion and realize we're not alone, we're not forsaken, we're not afraid, and we're not defeated.